measure of ways. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store.
And a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board. Glad to have you with us on what is going to be, what is going to end up as a rainy Wednesday, pretty sure. Yeah, this storm has migrated. Oops, sorry about that. And it is migrating to the north. And what we are getting right now is actually this tropical storm. For real. Oh, yeah. Now, the good news is it's lost most of its tropical characteristics. There's really not much rotation left with it, especially this far out. But if it continues to migrate the way it's heading, it's coming right toward us. They're not overly concerned about it. As far as amounts, yeah, they're not real concerned about it. It's just showers, I guess, pretty much. So the truth of the matter is it's going to be enough to be aggravating, but it's not going to be enough to hurt anything. You know, we're close to having to water the lawns. I mean, it's getting crunchy. And I know that sounds odd, but the humidity's been low, and so it's dried things out pretty badly. So we're not even hardly looking at a half an inch of rain, unless we get a thunderstorm or something. It's not much. But it's going to be for several days. We'll look at that here in just a moment. But first of all, let's take a look at the traffic and see if we can get you to the house. And I'm going to refresh that because that can't be right. That just can't be right because every road that I'm seeing is good to go. And that can't be right. On a Wednesday? I mean, that looks like COVID. I mean, the only thing I can find that's slow is the 240 right in downtown Asheville on the west side. That's it. Everything else is moving, which is unheard of. You just don't see that. Not seen that since the big shutdown. But, yeah, we didn't even have traffic to talk about during those days. There was not enough people on the road to even mention. But Asheville is remarkable this afternoon. It looks like 2 in the morning almost. Wow. Unusual. And then as we look to South Carolina, let me see if I can find some traffic jams here. Come on, make my day. All right, well, northbound's pretty good today, but southbound is typical. It's typical about the airport down to around Pelham Road. That is that's where there's a little off the pace this afternoon. But outside of that, even Greenville's doing good. And so explain that one. I can't. I don't know what's going on. All right. But anyway, we'll take it, won't we? We'll take it. All right. Let me zoom in and give you a little bit of what's going on. We have rain already falling in western North Carolina. Most of the western end has already got rain. It is now moving into the county, into Transylvania. It's moving from the west, southwest. And let me say it the other way. Can you say it that way? South, southwest. Yeah, that's how you would say it. South, southwest. That's where it's coming from. And there are a few storms in the upstate of Georgia, and maybe one in Walhalla, and it could move up into our area. I don't expect it to, but nevertheless, it could. So we do have a chance of showers. And it's raining now from Jackson County, North Carolina, to Pensacola, Florida, that whole section. And if you know, that's a long drive down there. But it is. It's raining that far down. And it looks like that most of this rain, now there's a big batch to the north up in Tennessee, Kentucky area, but for the most part, most of the rain that's coming directly associated with this system is going to track through the Carolinas. Yeah. And of course, we've had an abundance of rain this year already. We are showing right now here at the studio, I've got 71 is what I'm showing. Asheville, a minute ago, 5 minutes, 5 till 5 is when they take their readings. they were showing 76, a little warmer. And then Greenville-Spartanburg, they are a little warmer than that yet. And let's see if I can pick them up here. Did that the other day. Greenville-Spartanburg would not show. And I have no idea why, but it did that the other day. And it's doing it again today. They're not reporting. But I can tell you that around the Greenville area, I'm seeing 83, 82. I see there one at 85. I doubt that. So we're probably in the low 80s and the low 70s here in the mountains. All right, let's look at more detail at the forecast. So let me just read it to you. It'd be the best way to do it. This afternoon, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm right along now. And then mostly cloudy with a high near 79 this afternoon. Of course, we've already seen that and it's gone past us. South-southwest wind around 5. Chance of precipitation 70% this evening. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Overnight showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Patchy fog after about 3 in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 62 degrees. Calm wind. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New precipitation amounts of less than an inch, except higher, less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. For tomorrow, it's 50-50. In the morning, patchy fog until about 11. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Light and variable wind. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. 40% for tomorrow evening. Chance of showers on Friday in the morning particularly. And it's about 60% on Friday. And then Friday night, I think, clearing up for the ball games. And 61 degrees and 30% chance of a shower. And then Saturday, I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be a good day Saturday. About 80, so it's warming up a little bit. And the precipitation is about 40%. And then it looks like somebody run a carbon copy of the forecast. 30% chance of showers all the way through next Wednesday. Saturday night through next Wednesday, about the same thing. Mid to upper 70s, lows at night around 60. Yeah, and that looks like the forecast for the next 7 days. All right, and of course, we are being influenced by the Gulf storm. And what's been interesting is they've all influenced us, haven't they? Every time we get a storm, it ends up here in the mountains. And, of course, the biggest floods that have ever been recorded here were the result of hurricanes and tropical systems. And so, yeah. All right. Well, good to hear from the team in Puerto Rico. They have landed and are on the way to the dormitory. And so we've got a disaster team going down to load out the Sea Hope vessel bound for St. Vincent. And we appreciate our team left at 5 this morning on the way there. And we appreciate them very much. Listener's portion today on the 15th day of September, halfway through the month, AM 720. And the general budget being sponsored by the Fairhaven Baptist Church. Thanking the Lord for His many blessings. And we appreciate that. Fairhaven, Pastor Chris Norris, thank you so much. And then the Anchor Broadcasting Network and the network budget being sponsored by Annette Sutton. And it's in memory of her husband, Jack Sutton. We'd like to say thanks to Miss Annette, and we salute the memory of Jack today here on the 15th of September. Well, birthdays today include our own Christy Norris, our own Anna Lee Dean, our own Morgan Listenby, our own Yasna Robertson, and our own Becky Wackel. That's unique, isn't it? For one church to have 5 birthdays all together, yeah, on one day. So we ought to throw a birthday party, shouldn't we? Yeah, but that group's scattered all over the place. As far as Yasna is in Chile, a missionary young lady in Chile. So yeah, we got folks here yonering about. We're glad to have these birthdays today. God bless you with many more. And let's see who has joined us. Business has been picking up here in the past little bit as I've been watching the map. Ann Arbor, Michigan has joined us. Augusta, Georgia in multiple places. I'm not sure what's going on with Belmont, New Hampshire. Either we've got an entire congregation watching us, each one on an individual connection, or something's hung up. I don't know what it is, but the whole page is full of Belmont, New Hampshire. Blue Ridge, Georgia, Brevard, North Carolina, Canton, Daquin, Arkansas. Never heard of that. Daquin, D-E, then capital Q-U-E-E-N. Daquin, Arkansas. Inglewood, Colorado, Fort Mill, South Carolina, Gordon, Nebraska, right beside the Pine Ridge, Lakota Sioux Reservation, Greenville, South Carolina, Greer, Harwood Heights, Illinois. A lot of folks up in Harwood Heights listening. A lot of connections in Hendersonville today. Homer, Alaska. Yeah, down on the southern coast tip of Alaska there. Got folks out Houston, Texas. Hope they're getting dried out. Kansas City, Missouri. Right in the middle of the country. We have with us this afternoon Kingston, the St. Andrew Parish, Jamaica in the Caribbean. Glad to have you with us. Lancaster, South Carolina, Millerstown, Pennsylvania, Morrisville, North Carolina, Plymouth, Mississippi. Excuse me, that's not right. Plymouth, Minnesota. There you go. Pocatello, Idaho, Raleigh, North Carolina, Ridgeland, Mississippi, San Jose, California, Springdale, Arkansas, Silva, North Carolina, the United Kingdom on board with us in multiple places. Look at that. And we have Woodbridge, New Jersey, all that are on the app this afternoon. So we salute all of you. Glad to have you with us for sure. And we, of course, that's only listening to the audio side. And so that does not include any of the other the video channel, or does not include the websites or anything like that. That's just on the app. And then folks that have tuned in this afternoon on Facebook and are with us, we're glad to have Belinda. We appreciate Legazpi City, Philippines. We appreciate Ann, I think it's Green River, Joseph, Gary in Valley Hill, Danville, Kentucky, and Jimbo, I'm glad to have you on board there, Danville, Kentucky. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. And let me see here. All right, cloudy in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but listening, hearing you loud and clear. Thank you. Traffic is crazy too. Ain't that the truth? Puerto Rico is an American territory, but they drive like a third world country. Now, I'm not lying to you. And I've had to drive down there, and it's interesting. I mean, it really is. It's interesting. If you had your good fast car, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But you got to get out of the way. You get run over down there. Those lines on the highway don't mean a thing to them. They just soon go five wide on a four lane as not. Yeah, does not seem to affect them very much at all. Also, let's see here. Good to have Judy from Fairview, and good to have Gregory with us. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Good to see you. Appreciate you being on board. All right. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Well, let me, can we just do a little bit of catching up? I need a little housekeeping. Can we do that? All right. So let me, Pickens, Greg John Pickens. Let me share something that we all probably know, but we probably need to be told again, be reminded again. In the event that you were to ever pick up the phone and dial 911 and you could not get them, okay? Somebody said, well, that would be terrible. Well, it's a rare occurrence, but I'm just saying, in the event that you could not get through to 911, you need to drive to your nearest fire station, wherever that's at. Because if the 911 system goes down, it is automatic that they will tone all departments to man the stations. Now, some stations are manned 24 hours a day. But if it's in the middle of the night, then people are asleep sometimes, you know, you got to get them up. But nevertheless, if you ever have a situation that you cannot get through to the 911 system for any reason, get in the car or get somebody to get in the car and drive to the nearest firehouse. because they will be manning them. And that is standard protocol. In the event there's a communication glitch or whatever happens, it is standard procedure to man stations so that they're there to take, you know, to if people were sick or if whatever was happening, or if your house is on fire, you drive down to the firehouse and tell them. And that's how that's, you know, and they come out that way. That's the way it was done back in the olden days. And so that's always plan B, okay? That's always plan B. And so I said, well, give me a for instance. Well, let's say, for instance, that it's 10 o'clock in the morning and suddenly we had a snowfall and they closed school. You cannot hardly get a phone call out on cell phones because so many people are using them. And that's not only true just for cell phones. That is true for almost everything. And what I mean by that is that we have, I'm not even sure what it's called exactly, but bottom line, it is shared usage. In other words, if everybody that lived in our county all tried to call out on their cell phone at exactly the same time, only a small percentage would get to do that because it's not designed for that. But I can take it one more than that. Even the wired systems can't take that. They're not designed for that. The same thing with the internet. Particularly on, well, unless you have what's called dedicated bandwidth. And if you have dedicated bandwidth, you pretty well know it because you pay a lot for that. But in most cases, your bandwidth is governed, you know, by how many people are on there. And if everybody were to get on the internet at the same time, I mean, everybody that has it and tried to download a movie, then the same, you know, you'd have issues. It would slow it way down. So things are changing and things are getting better than they used to be. But it still is a reality, okay? So just simply saying to you, if we ever got in a situation to where you could not communicate, then I would encourage you to go to your nearest firehouse, okay? If you had an emergency, so that's what you need to do. Go to the nearest firehouse. But I want to tell you something else, and I've done this, okay? I've done this. And, okay, that's a good point. A tornado, when the tornado ripped through Joplin, it took out the 911 system. So the only way you could do anything is to go to the firehouse and report it because there was no communication. So that's an example. Yeah, it is. That's a good example, matter of fact. Each family need to have a emergency plan that if you can't contact each other for whatever reason, this is what we're going to do. And every family needs to rehearse that. If you can't get in touch, this is what you do. And it might be for the kids, if you can't get in touch with the parents, you go to grandma's. Because grandma doesn't work, she's always home. Go to grandma's. It might be that you go to the neighbors. It might be, you know, but every family needs an emergency plan in the event that they cannot communicate. Every family needs that, so that you know where people are, okay? And they need it needs to be automatic. When we can't talk and when we can't communicate, this is what you do. And it might be that you tell the kids, you stay at school. You stay right there until I come get you. Don't you move. You stay at school. And it might be midnight before you can come get them, but rules are they cannot leave the children. So in other words, somebody's going to be there. And something like we're talking about rarely could occur, but at the same time, you need to make a decision what the kids are supposed to do, and you need to make sure they know what they're supposed to do. But I want to go one step further with this. I think congregations need to have a plan. If for whatever reason there's an emergency and we can't communicate, this is the plan. And this is where we will be. And this is what we'll be doing. And that's what, I mean, every church, in my opinion, needs to have that plan. Because not everybody can make it on their own. Not everybody can. Not everybody has a generator. Not everybody has their own water source. Not everybody has what it takes to sustain life at their house. So it is a standing policy, and I really didn't want to get this personal with it, but I'll just go ahead and share it with you. It is a standing policy, and I go over it about once a year with the congregation of Anchor, that in the event that we lose communications, and in the event that there's an emergency, we're going to be at the campus here. We will be at the facility. I won't be home. I won't be somewhere else. I'll be here. And this is where we will hunker down, because we have our own well, we have our own septic tank, we have thousands of gallons of fuel on hand, and we have big generators. So this is the place that we would hunker down. Okay, not every family has that. I don't have that where I live. So if the power went out for an extended period of time and for whatever reason communications went down, I really can't stay where I live. It's not feasible. So I'm gonna have to do something different. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna be here. Okay, so our congregation knows that, and I think that every congregation needs to talk about it and have an emergency plan, that this is what's going to happen. And so when you don't know what to do, this is where we meet. And it may not be at the church building. Maybe the church building doesn't have what it takes. You know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's the parsonage. Maybe it's so-and-so, brother so-and-so's house. He has a generator. Maybe it's, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? But you need a plan. I think every community and congregation needs a plan. Okay, so just throwing that out, just for one of those things that I hope I never have to even bring into play. Okay? And Brother Perry is listening, watching, and the tropical fish guy. Yeah, I remember. Absolutely appreciate that. And so, all right, 0502, thank you. Appreciate that very much. Several, like I said, I got some housekeeping things I need to take care of this afternoon. And so just give me a moment, if you don't mind. We appreciate that very much. Our crew's in Puerto Rico, so that's a blessing. They'll be back in here late Saturday night. They're loading out the load going to St. Vincent for the volcano relief. The ship will come back into port next weekend, and it'll load right back out with all the product going to Haiti. And let me make a retraction, a clarification, an apology for something I said yesterday. I did not in any way intend to say that the Sea Hope funds don't go toward cargo. Didn't mean that at all. What I was trying to emphasize was, and I may have said that, but that's not what I meant. What I meant to say was that from our aspect, what we're doing, the Sea Hope is raising funds for the fuel and those things and for cargo. And the funds that we are raising right now are exclusively for cargo. That's what we're, you know, for the needs. That's what we're raising the money for. So wanted to make that clarification. And we're excited about how well the operations have run. We're excited about the efficiency of how the ship is operating. And I mean, it's a godsend. It really is. And the Lord did it. I mean, that's all you can do. I could devote hours to the story of the Sea Hope. It is a fascinating story. But it's a reality, folks. It's sitting in San Juan, Puerto Rico. They'll start loading in the morning. Oh, yeah. They'll pull it over to the maintenance dock, where they can broadside get to it with a truck, and they'll start loading that thing out in the morning. So, yeah, it's exciting. I promise you it is. It is thrilling what the Lord is doing, and this will be our third load into Haiti in a year, and this will be our second load into St. Vincent. So the Lord's doing all of that, and we give Him the glory, and we appreciate what He's doing. Now we've talked about, we still have active You know, we still have an active disasters. I got three going, okay, right now. I got three different things. I was asked today, are we going to the Gulf Coast? And the answer is no, we're not. But Hearts with Hands is down there, and we're trying to back them. Let me say thank you to John. Appreciate this. $1,000 gift. God bless you. Thank you very much. Also, let me say thanks to Juanita from Brevard, a $50 gift at the Change the World Relief. Here is a $1,200 gift from the St. Philip's Episcopal Church on Main Street in Brevard. And this goes toward the Change the World Relief Organization Fund. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. So I said, well, what are you doing? Okay, what are you doing with all of this? Well, today we are waiting on, we have a family that has, we didn't think so, but I think now that they've had damage in the floorboards of the house. I think the water may have got a little higher than they thought. They now have black mold. So we're going to have somebody come in and tear the floor out, and all the insulation's got to come out. All the ductwork's got to come out. Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, it really is. And so we have another organization that's willing to foot the bill on the material for that to happen. And so we're looking at, if we can't get some help from FEMA, can't get some help from some of the others, then we're looking at being able to try to help with some of that labor and to cover some of the cost of some of that labor. And so, yeah, thank you so much. And Belinda, I'm not sure. I see missions in Haiti need help. I guess, is that a question or is that a statement? I'm not sure. But if you can help me with that, Belinda, I'd appreciate that. She's watching this afternoon, okay? All right, what in the world is that, okay? All right, not sure exactly. I understand all of that. I'll have to look at that a little more detail. I'm not understanding. Wayne, I don't understand what I'm looking at. So it's sideways to me, and I can't quite read it from where I'm sitting. All right, so let's change gears again, if I can, and let me move in a different direction. I need to ask a question, okay? So I'm asking a question. Did Saturn cars, a Saturn sedan, a 96 sedan Saturn, is there such a thing as a 96 that did not have power steering? Now, here's the thing. I realize that Chevrolet, back about that era, come out with what's called an electric rack. And the problem is those things would go out, and when they went out, you couldn't steer them. Some of those little, what were they, like a little box truck looking thing? I don't know what they were called. It had like an old Chevrolet truck front end on it. It looked like a little box truck. Those things would run out of the road with you. Dodge had the PT Cruiser. It was the Chevrolet version, whatever that was. I know of someone who run out of the road because the electric rack went out on it and they couldn't steer it. The question is, did Saturn have electric racks, or could you get a version that did not have power steering? That's a question about a car. I need to know. So I don't know if we got something that's bad, or if it just didn't have it. Just didn't have power steering. I don't know. I'm trying to determine there, okay? And so, okay. Yes, okay. Thank you, Belinda. Haiti is in need of help. Yes, I understand what you're saying, making a statement. Belinda, her son is there. Oh, yes, it is. It's in big need. Sure is big need. Stands right now, we're going to be able to, C-Hope is going to be able to help with about 700 children with back-to-school supplies. And yeah, that's part of what's going to go on the next loadout with all the metal and all the other things. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. And there with the Global Missions Mission Group. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right, let me change gears again. Like I say, today's just a kind of a string of maybe unconnected things, okay? I've been trying to understand, and I don't want to panic anybody when I say this. I've been trying to understand the issue of, you know, the shots. And also, why are people that have COVID, they kind of get over it, but they don't get over it. And they go like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then boom. It's like they hit a brick wall. And many are dying. So I've been studying everything I can get my hands on. I read a lot, and I've been reading everything I can get my hands on. And you can't, obviously you can't believe everything you read. And that's why it's so hard, because you have people, you have Dr. Doodle Digger over here that says, this is bad, this is bad. And then you have Dr. Doomigood over on this side that is, he says, this is good, this is good. And both of them have equal credentials. Equal credentials. So who do you believe and what do you believe? Well, that's a good question. One of the things that, you know, you may have heard this, I think I've mentioned it, that a cytokine storm, you may have heard that. Cytokine, that's what they were, you know, that was kind of the buzz phrase. The media picked up that people were having, the body was being overwhelmed, and that's what was causing it. These people were coming up with these cytokine storms. And that, I mean, I'm not, that's probably true. And you say, well, where'd that come from? Okay, let me quote you, okay? It was a peer-reviewed article that was published in the Inflammation and Regeneration. The scientists, they argued that what was going on was a cytokine storm that overwhelmed the body and was implicated in the high death rates from the body. Well, that was the explanation. But now there's some stuff coming out of China. And again, man, you can't believe nothing comes out of China, can you? Or can you? Well, don't know. This is a Chinese study. It's not been peer-reviewed yet, but this is raw data coming out of China. And they are saying that people's immune systems may be being compromised, and that the reason people are having organ failure and all these other things late into COVID is because that the antibodies that fight the spike protein that is generated by contracting COVID. The problem is, though, that these antibodies may be acting like autoimmune, and they may be attacking our cells. Now, this is not new. I read something coming out of New York, and there was a doctor. He did something. Now, this is a year ago, and he was saying that his people were dying on respirators when respirators in New York City was such a big deal. He was talking about it. And he was talking about these people act like that they're at high altitude. They're having altitude sickness. They cannot breathe. They cannot get oxygen into their lungs. And I think he was one of the first ones to put people on a heart and lung machine to try to save them. Well, what they're saying is that spike proteins may very well be harmful to cells. Matter of fact, they may be considered that spike proteins may be causing damage to tissues. And so that they may be what's, rather than just a simple cytokine storm, that or cytokine, whichever way you say it, that it's possible that the spike proteins themselves are what's triggering this, and this overreaction by the immune systems basically you know, some of these antibodies that are triggered by a pathogen virus, which is what the spike protein is, turn around and attack your own tissues. And this explains why athletes, why young athletes, 25 to 35, are now on oxygen for life. Their own antibodies attacked their lungs and attacked this virus to the point that it not only killed the virus, it killed the stem cell layer. And by killing the stem cell layer, the lungs can't heal. There will never be a lung cell there again. Best case you can hope for, scar tissue. But without stem cells, can that even happen? So, and here's the concern, okay? And I'm not, okay? I am not at all, I'm not alarmed about this. So don't think I am. I took my mom and had a shot Monday. Don't regret it. But here's the point. If spike proteins introduced into the human body can, in some people, trigger an overreaction and an almost an autoimmune disorder where the body attacks itself, and that's what autoimmune is. Whether you have the autoimmune in the skin, you know, whether you have psoriasis and those sorts of things, it's autoimmune. That's why you take, you know, that's why they suppress your immune system trying to fix it, because your body's attacking itself. And it's true with, you know, there's tons of different ones, autoimmune diseases, where the body sees its own cells as foreign and attacks them, okay? Well, in some people, the introduction of the spike protein apparently is triggering this reaction. The issue is that all three of the current vaccines are modified RNA or messenger RNA. They modify the messenger RNA and cause it to create a spike protein. And in turn, the body triggers an immune response to that. But the question remains, is the introduction into the human body of the spike protein, is it safe for everyone? And so I wanted to give equal time to those who say, no, not going to do the vaccine, don't trust it. I've tried to understand their viewpoint, and I do see some issues. I do see some issues in some people. At the same time, I see a very high death rate among the unvaccinated. I see a very high intubation rate among the unvaccinated. I see a very high ICU rate among the unvaccinated, and I see a very high hospitalization rate among the unvaccinated. So I'll say it this way. Nothing is 100% safe. There's a rule in the military, and I never served. They were not recruiting when I turned of age. I didn't even have to register. But there's a rule, and it's in especially in special ops, there's no such thing as 100%. And that they just teach you that. There is no such thing as 100%. Don't care what it is. There's no such thing as 100%. If man had his hand in it, the best you can hope for is about 95%. Because there is a 5% variable because man had his hand in it. Does that make sense? So I think that's true with most things. I mean, the chances of your pharmacist filling your medicine wrong are very slim. But is there a chance he could? Yes. The chance that a pharmaceutical company would put the wrong medicine in the wrong pill, is there a chance that could happen? It's not very high. Could it happen? Yes, it could. Third shift on Sunday night, somebody comes in about half asleep, and yeah, it could happen. Could somebody take it and die from it? They could. They could. So there's no guarantees, okay? The only thing you can, it's guaranteed in life is the Lord. If man had his hand in it, man can mess it up, and you can rest assured that's a true statement. There's no such thing as 100% recovery. There's no such thing as 100% success rate. There's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as 100% cure in anything. Care what anybody tells you. There's no such thing as that. There's always that element of error. And then there's the element of whatever you want to call it. Someone, you know, that's been healthy all their life, and something small happened and boom, okay? I had it happen one time with bee sting. I went on a call and had a guy who stepped in a yellow jacket's nest. He had never been allergic, never had an issue, never had on a pair of shorts. They eat him up. I got there. He was holding his throat, gasping for air. His tongue was swollen. His throat was restricted. He was going into anaphylactic shock. And the problem is, at the point, I had no meds, I had nothing I could do. At that point, first responders, all that, that didn't carry epi. Not back then. You had to have a paramedic. I had an off-duty paramedic heard the call, had his medicine bag with him, come flying into where I was, popped him with an EpiPen, and within 5 minutes that man was setting up. When the ambulance got there, we put him on the stretcher, he's setting up talking to us. But I was positioned to get ready to start rescue breathing for that man. That's how bad he was. He could not breathe. How many times have you been bee stung in your life? And I don't know how many stings he got, but he had never had an issue with bee sting. But he would have died. If he'd been out on the trail somewhere, he'd have been dead, man. Thankfully, he was to where they could get some help and could get to him. He lived, and he was fine. Once they hit him with epinephrine, he was fine. I'm just saying that you don't know, okay? You don't know. Okay, you just don't know what's next. And there's no guarantees. There have been people die of some of the craziest things. I had a cousin die, got choked on a hot dog, and died. Choked to death before they could get to him on a hot dog. So well, I ain't ever eating hot dogs again. Again, what's the chances? You see what I'm saying? What's the chances? I remember when a little girl choked to death on a grape in a public school. Do you ban grapes from public school? Well, we learned in daycare, cut them in half. We always cut them, and that way they weren't near as dangerous. That was the whole principle of a lifesaver. It had a hole in the middle of it so you could breathe through it so kids wouldn't get choked on it. That was the whole idea. Yeah. Let me drop back, okay? Let me drop back. The 96 manual transmission Saturn had manual steering, according to Google. Well, okay. Well, at least I know now. I won't have to take it to the shop and say fix it and have fool made out of me. That I didn't know you could get a manual steering car in 1996. Did you? I did not know that. I did not know that. How about that? Yeah. I've got somebody sharing that rather than getting a vaccination, they're boosting their immune system. And by the way, you know, that's a very good idea regardless. And I'm very serious. You can't just go rogue. You got to do it right. Because zinc can cause you problems, cause you stomach problems, all kinds of things. But zinc, vitamin C, D3, magnesium, potassium. Yeah, these are very good. And then I call it quercetin. Is that the way you say it? Quercetin with bromine, I believe it is. Quercetin. That was recommended by a lung specialist, quercetin, for people who have it, for people who have COVID. Also, we have had multiple doctors recommend baby aspirin as a part of the regimen for people, you know, over 40. And the idea behind it is, if you, one of the biggest issues with COVID has been, the biggest issue besides COVID pneumonia, the second biggest hospitalization factor has been pulmonary embolism, which simply put is a blood clot in, that hangs in the lung. Okay. And an aspirin, a baby aspirin, 81 milligram baby aspirin, you can get them that are coated so they don't bother your stomach. That is one of the best defenses against blood clots, period. And blood clots are the root for heart attacks. Blood clots are also the root for strokes. And not all, but let's say it this way, a blockage to the brain and to the heart are the two leading causes of death in those instances. And so by making the corpuscles not so sticky, research is showing. I've got a book that's got 50 of the latest studies. They compiled it. There are 50 of them. And in those studies, aspirin comes out shining, man. I'm telling you. It is such a good preventative for people over, you know, if you're already on a blood thinner, then no, it's not prescribed at all. You have to go to the doctor. You have to get him to do it. Fish oil is similar. If you're doing vitamin E or high dosing on fish oil or the omega-3s, those do the similar thing. When I had back surgery, they took me off of all aspirin, all NSAIDs. I was on my meloxicam one a day, took me off of it 2 weeks prior to the surgery, took me off of any kind of NSAID, none of it, no Advil, none of that. All I could have for pain was Tylenol, and that's it, nothing else. And they also took me off all the fish oil and all of the vitamin E and all the blood thinners. Because the reason they did, because they say that anti-inflammatories, which NSAIDs are, stop bone growth. And so I was having double fusions, and they were trying to foster the bone growth and want my bone to fuse and grow up through the cages and fuse my spine together. And so they stopped it completely. They said, we need an inflammatory response in your body for it to grow bone. Go figure. That's what, in a sense, that's what arthritis does. These arthritic knots on your hand and all this stuff, you know, that's that inflammatory response. And even in your joints, you get that, your body starts putting these spurs and starts growing these different stuff. Yeah. Sometimes you get these hooks that grow on your vertebrae and other things, and it's all part of that arthritis response. It's, you know, so anyway, yeah, and there's a whole lot of other things that folks can do. And of course, if you have it, there's a whole nother regimen. But this is also good preventative stuff, and it's good for you anyway. And I want to mention this without making anybody mad, but let's just say this, okay? If your body mass index is high, that's a very polite way of putting it. If your body mass index is high, there's a very good chance that your D3 is low. Again, it's in the study. It just is. And the problem is, it's hard to get it. The heavier you are, the harder it is to get it, to get the D3 and to get it to process. And so where do you get it out? Well, you can get it out of pills, but you can also get it out of the sunshine. And so it is, yeah, sunshine. So, and of course, I know that the dermatologists are going to rage, but I'm just saying that sunshine is the natural source of vitamin D. We don't have to worry about vitamin D deficiency in the tropics. We don't have to worry about it. They get all they need because of the sunshine. We have to worry about it in the northern climates, but we don't have to worry about it in the tropics. I noticed in the tropics when I started ministering, they don't drink milk. Kids don't even drink milk hardly. I couldn't figure that. Well, they need milk. Then I got to looking, hey, with all of the shellfish and all the fish, everything that they eat in the tropics, And with all the sunshine, hey, their vitamin D levels are high. You know, they're fine. But I didn't know that, you know, like it is here. But I'll say this, the heavier you are, the lower your vitamin D. And studies have shown that people with low vitamin D have a higher rate of hospitalization if they get COVID. They got a higher rate of complication if they get COVID. So getting the vitamin D up is a big deal. Yeah, I know. It's just, you say, well, what do I do? Well, again, sunshine's free. It's still free. They ain't started taxing us on it yet. They've not started charging us for it yet. They'll probably figure out a sunshine tax now that I said that. But as of this program, there was no sunshine tax. And the best I know, you can still sit out in the sun for 15 minutes a day free of charge, as far as I know. Yeah. Okay. Welcome Rural Hall in the conversation this afternoon. St. Louis has joined us. Where else? We've got... Nassau, New York has chimed in. Glad to see you. A lot of folks with us this afternoon. Glad to have you. Thank you so much. Hope you're going to be in church tonight. Hope you're going to be in the house of the Lord. And we are very grateful and very thankful for you being on with us this afternoon. Well, Brother Greg mentions, he said very touchy, difficult subject. Well, listen, I've gotten more criticism over COVID than I ever have over any doctrine I've ever preached. But my purpose is not to try to tell you what to think. My purpose is to try to give you things to think about. And I've determined that when people have the correct information, they'll make the right decisions for them. And by the way, one size does not necessarily fit all. Okay? Does not. I'll just mention, I have a cancer survivor. And the doctor, her cancer doctor, forbid her from having the vaccine. Don't even talk about it. Absolutely, positively, no, not happening. So you don't have to pray about it. Absolutely, oncologist said no. Because of the history of cancer, and because of the history of blood clots and all these other things and the danger of all that, and because of the medicines that she's on. So my point is that we are, you know, and Jennifer says a balanced and healthy diet can introduce the vitamins we need to the body. And by the way, you know, the more we find out, the less we find out about the effectiveness of some of the pills, because some of the pills have to have combinations for us to absorb them. So having some of the different things by themselves doesn't work very well. You have to have this with this to make this do that. Yeah, and so that comes the natural way from eating the right foods and having all the right things. So yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely believe in the freedom of choice. I believe it's part of our rights as United States citizens. Freedom of religion, you have the right to... You govern your body, and you have that right. It's not the government's decision, and it's your decision. But I can tell you that a lot of people have had good results, but there are people who have not, and there's no denying that, okay, when it comes to vaccination. There's no denying that. And the jury's still out on the under 12. Even the under emergency authority. Now, they say they're fixing to, but even under emergency authority, 11 and under cannot get the shot. Why? Well, as I say, the jury's still out on that one. So, there are people who medically can't get it. There are people who, for religious conviction, can't get it. I mean, there are people who have never had a shot in their entire lives. It's against their moral code to do that. They've got a case. According to the Constitution, if I understand it right, and I don't know that I do, but if I understand it right, our sincerely held religious beliefs are protected. But a sincerely held religious belief can't start today. If it's sincerely held, it's been held a long time, and there's proof of it. There's a track record that it was sincerely held. Does that make sense? Yeah. If you have the flu shot every year, but you won't take the COVID shot, then I don't believe you ought to have to take it. But my point is, you cannot argue that it's a sincerely held religious belief. You can argue a lot of other different things, but you can't argue that one because you take other shots. See where I'm going with it? Just saying. Okay. How can we get this today? Okay. If we, again, if we do it correctly, and let me look and see if we did. Are we recording? Let's see here. I'm not. Yep. Yeah, there it is. Yes. Today has been recorded in its entirety, as most days are. And so what we'll do is that will be posted to our app. You can go on the app. It'll be, look under prayer time with today's date and prayer time or drive time, whatever it says on the app. And you should be able to replay this in its entirety. Okay. And as I said, now the study I did, okay, the study I read was from China, and it's not been peer reviewed. So don't go out and say Preacher Barton said, because it's too early. It's too early, and I don't trust China, number one, and I don't trust things that have not been peer reviewed. It needs to go through a process to look at it and see by American doctors to see if there's any validity to it. But that might be the culprit. We might have just uncovered the missing link and why people are hitting this brick wall at 3 weeks or whatever, and why people that have the shot are coming down with some of these strange things, organ failure and a lot of other stuff. Okay? And it's more complicated than just a cytokine, if I'm saying it right, cytokine storm. It's more complicated than that. We thought that, and that was commonly talked about. But now, is the spike protein itself triggering an autoimmune response by the body in some people? Let's pray it ain't. I'm just telling you, let's pray it ain't. Let's pray that thing's wrong. Because, yeah, it's 'cause really we don't. That's the direction technology went, and yeah, let's pray it's wrong. But what we're seeing is, and of course it's too early to tell probably, but for the most part, it happens fairly quickly in both COVID and with both the shots. Most people get some type of issue, again, fairly quickly. And so if you had it months ago, you know, probably not. And here's one more thing. I want to throw this in there. So I'm going to give you a little bit of hope. If you have any other than if you have normal immunity, if you've had COVID and had the shot, you're probably okay, because those other antibodies, other than just the spike protein, it's probably going to offset it. Okay, and that's what they're saying in this article. That's what they're talking about. But people who don't have any natural immunity and all they get is the spike protein, there's a possibility that that could be a problem. But on the other hand, you got people that have full COVID, they get the full immune response, and they're having trouble. So it's not just the shot. There's more to it than that. So you can't blame it on the shot, because more people that have the disease are hitting that brick wall than that have the shot. Way more. Way, 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 way more. So just saying. Okay? All right. Thank you for being on board. Thank you for praying. Pray for those on ventilators. Pray for those in emergency rooms. Pray for those in COVID wards. Folks, the place is full. But the good news is Transylvania County had a 25% decrease in infections this week. Hallelujah. Yeah, 25% decrease in infections this week. So maybe, just maybe, we're over the top of that hump for Delta. And now Mu is on the way. I know. Jesus said pestilence, which means disease, as a part of the sign of his coming. Read chapter 4 of Matthew. Chapter 24, excuse me. Read chapter 24 of Matthew, the signs of his coming. Matthew 24, diseases, plural. I don't think we've seen the last of it, because it didn't say disease. It said diseases, pestilences, plural. Our Father, help us. Lord, but may we not focus on this world and all the things of this world. Lord, may we not focus on the Antichrist and his appearing. But Lord Jesus, may we focus on Christ Jesus and your appearing. Lord, may we not be so concerned about the mark of the beast and about all these other things. But Lord, may we be rejoicing about the new name that we'll be given in heaven. And Lord, about the rejoicing and about the victory that's going to be ours when you come. And so, Lord, help us, I pray. We know that your coming is so close. Lord, it's time for us to stop looking for signs and go to listening for sounds. Lord, we pray that you'd save the soul that's nearest hell today. Redeem them by your grace. And Lord, help us to be found faithful in these dark hours. Help us to be what light we can. Help us, Lord, to be careful. Help, Lord, this thing. Lord, may it not divide the body of Christ. Lord, may we pull together and not again one another in these days. Lord, we all face a common enemy. Help us, Lord, to stand united. And Lord, may you be glorified. And may souls be saved, we ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you.